Tonight's shiur is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Rav Chaim Reb Avraham Arbisfeld, who was basically the founder of this Tuesday night shiur many years ago. The last couple of weeks we were learning Simen Resh Mem Tes and Resh Nun. More or less, we're up to Simen Resh Nun Aleph in Hilchas Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara that it's not proper to do malacha on Erev Shabbos min ha-mincha olamayla. And two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, whether that means min ha-mincha gedola olamayla or mincha ktana olamayla. Mincha gedola is a half an hour after chatzos. So one opinion is not right to do if you have a regular job. You're a barber or you're a tailor or something. You should really stop at half an hour after chatzos. That's mincha gedola. Mincha Ktana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. Plag a Mincha is 1.25 hours before the end of the day. Plag means half of the Mincha Ktana. Mincha Ktana, l'chatchila, more correct is to daven every day Mincha Ktana, not to daven Mincha Gdolo. In the yeshivas in Europe, in the Litvish yeshivas, they always daven Mincha Gdolo, even though in the Rambam, the simple reading is that l'chatchila it's not proper to daven Mincha Gdolo. Because they said, if they're going to daven mincha ktana, then they'll have to be mafsik in the middle of the afternoon seder. And they want to learn a few, 4 or 5 hours straight, not to be mafsik in the middle, to be mevatel zman in the middle, to take off time to daven mincha. That was the explanation that they gave. But really, really more correct is always to daven every day mincha ktana, not to daven mincha ktana. In all the yeshivas, that's what they do. They always daven mincha ktana, and they learn the whole afternoon seder, you learn straight. So the Mishnah Berurah is Mekel. He says, Magen Avraham is Machriya, that it's Mincha Ktana. That the farmers who work on a farm have to come back to the city. A person has a full-time job. So it's not right that he should do the work Min HaMincha Olamayla Mincha Ktana. He should really stop all the work at that time. I remember when I was a little boy, it wasn't so little, I remember I was 14, 15 years old. There was an elderly gentleman in my father's shul in the Bronx who lived in the city of Nevardek. He said he remembered as a child when the Aruch HaShulchan was appointed the rabbi in the city, and they would daven mincha on Friday afternoon, right before the shkia, and then say Kabbalah Shabbos, like we do in all the shuls. Many of the Jews were farmers. So they would come home, they would work till the end of the day. They wouldn't stop the Mincha Ktana. They would work till the end of the day. They would come home and they would be washing, they would be taking the bath or the shower, whatever. For Shabbos, it was already after the Shkia. Then they would come to shul late. They would come to shul, everybody was already saying Kabbalah Shabbos, already by Meir, they would daven in Mincha. So the first Shabbos that the Aruch HaShulchan was appointed, the rabbi there, he saw this, what was going on, he was very upset. They made a takana in the very beginning, the first or the second Shabbos or something, made a takana that they should daven Kabbalah Shabbos early, summer and winter. We only daven Kabbalah Shabbos early in the summertime, because if you're going to daven before the Shkia, you won't eat you won't make Kiddush until doomsday, till 9 o'clock, till 9:30 at night. The Shkia sometimes 8:30. So you're not going to get home to make Kiddush till 9:15, 9:30. But in the winter time, that it's a short Friday, why should you want to daven early? So the Aruch HaShulchan instituted a takana. Summer and winter, they're always going to daven Kabbalah Shabbos early, at Plag HaMincha. So the first Shabbos, the takana was intact, so the farmers didn't listen, and they came late. They came before the Shkia, but they came late. So after everybody finished davening Ma'ariv, they sent somebody up to the Oma to study Mincha. A second minion. So the Aruch HaShulchan gave a clap on the shtender and he said, no second minion in the big shul. He made them all daven b'yechidus. So this forced them, they were from Eden, they didn't want to daven b'yechidus. So that Shabbos they had no brera, but the coming Shabbosim, they got used to the idea, and even those who came late, but they didn't come so late. So that's the way he prevented them from being Mechal Shabbos. So that's what this Balabas told me. He remembered as a child when the Aruch HaShulchan came, he made that takana. In summer and winter, there should always be Mekabel Shabbos early. Somehow in the biography of of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, they have a different version. There it says that when he was a teenager, somebody convinced him to go learn in the Vardika Yeshiva. So the yeshiva apparently was crowded, so he went to Navardik. That wasn't where he lived. He went to Navardik and he learned in the shul. Instead of learning in the Beis Medrash in the yeshiva, he learned in the shul every day. And he got to know the Aruch HaShulchan, who was there in shul also. And he got into this practice of always davening Kabbalah Shabbos early, early at Plaga Mincha, every Friday, to be Mosik Mechoy Lala Kodesh. And in the biography of, in that biography, a two-volume biography, Melech Biyofyo, the biography of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, so they write that this was the eingespielte practice in Navardik from the days of the Galia Masechta. Galia Masechta, Rabbi David el Navardike, was the rabbi in the early 1800s. That was during the lifetime of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. That was he gave a hesped, he had a sichsuch once with Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. And when Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner passed away, he gave a beautiful hesped that he printed in the Sefer, Galia Masechta. So there they record that this was the practice in the shul for many generations before. This Balabas told me that he seemed to remember that it just started with the Aruch HaShulchan. It's a Mereshon and Beis. Shulchan Aruch takes a stand as a machlokes b'sham and b'sil in the Mishnah, the end of the first parak of Masech Shabbos, the 24th prophet. At the end of the first parak, there's a machlokes b'sham and b'sil. Are you permitted to set up a system where you start a malacha on Erev Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos? So let's say you have a sprinkler system and it waters the lawn. So it starts on Erev Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos. So you have wool that you want to dye a certain, you have raw wool, you didn't make it into cloth yet, and you want to dye it before you make it into cloth. So you put it in a vat of dye on Erev Shabbos and it takes a few hours till it's collate the dye, so the tzvi really takes place in Shabbos. So that's a machlekes b'sham and b'sil. So b'sham say you're not permitted to start a malacha on Erev Shabbos that's going to continue into Shabbos. The Gemara explains that b'sham held that there's, just like there's a pasuk that in Aseres Adibas Lasas Kamalacha Ato Behemtecha, Shvi says Behemto, I'm not permitted to allow my behemoth to do malachas on Shabbos, even if I'm friendly with my next door neighbor who's a Nochri. There's a farmer, I have a farm next to the farm of a Nochri, and we use each other's kelim, we're friendly, so I see the Nochri is going to use my behemah on Shabbos to do a malacha. He didn't ask me, and he's not paying me, I'm not getting any schar Shabbos, and it's not Amir Liakim, I didn't ask him to, and I didn't rent it out, I'm not making any money still, it's my behemah. So if I have the ability to, I have to prevent my behemah for doing malacha, even though the malacha is not being done on my behalf, the next door neighbor took the behemah. And if by mistake I lent the behemah out to the next door neighbor on Monday, and I didn't see to it that you can't trust a nochri that he's not going to do malacha with the behemah on Shabbos, maybe he will, and it'll be my violation. I will be in violation on Shvi'is behemta. So you can't trust the Nochri. So what happens, I lent it or I rented out my behem, and then it came. Then I went away, there's a Shabbaton somewhere, and went away for Shabbos. Then I realized, oh, Gival, the Nochri may be using my behem on Shabbos to do malachas. So there's a Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara says you have to be mafka the behem, in order not to violate Shvi'is behemto. You're only in violation because the behemah belongs to you. Once you're mafka it, it's not yours. Hi, if you're mafka it, so goodbye. So you lose your behemah. The Gemara says only be makrit liyom, be makrit only for the 25 hours of Shabbos, and after Shabbos is over, it'll go back to you, it'll belong back to you, but just for the duration of Shabbos, it won't belong to you. Shimon Shkot has a whole country called Mareches HaKinyonim. When he was, Shimon Shkot started being a Magid Shir at a very young age, in early 20s, because as it turns out, there's a whole interesting, fascinating story. His wife's uncle was Reb Lezer Telzer, Reb Lezer Gordon. And so when Reb Shimon Shkot got married, he said a whole Dvar Torah by the Chosson's Tish. And his uncle heard it, Reb Lezer Telzer heard it, and he was very impressed. So I think half a year later, when Reb Lezer Gordon needed someone to give a shir in the Telzer Yeshiva, so he invited Reb Shimon Shkupsa. He started giving a shiur at a very young age, early 20s. So 50 years later, the Talmidim wanted to make a whole celebration. So they published the Sefer HaYovel in his honor. So in the Sefer HaYovel, they have essays written by the Talmidim that he had during the duration of the 50 years. Some of them were old enough to be grandfathers of the others. My father-in-law, Baron Yishai Shapiro, wrote, as he learned by Reb Shimon in the last years. And then there were Talmidim who learned in the earlier years, who were way older than he was. And in the early years, he started off in Telzi Yeshiva. And then there was the First World War. And then there were other things going on. So he kept on moving from one city to the other. So they have essays by the different Talmidim about what the Beis Medrash was like, and what the Shir was like, and what Reb Shimon Shkup was like, what the Balabatim were like in all the different cities. And then they have a big kuntris, 100-page kuntris, of Reb Shimon Shkup, and that's Sefer HaYovel, that the boys had a copy, Reb Shimon had written it. So it's all about this, about Kinyan Azman. How does such a thing work? I make it Hefker for a day, or I give you ownership, Kol Zman, that you're alive, and after you die, Achrecha Lepleni, wanted to go to someone else, not your Yerush. How can he have such a thing? He has a whole a long kuntres on that topic. So the Gemara explains that Reb Shammai are of the opinion that you're not allowed to set up the sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos. You're going to continue to water the lawn on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to put in the wool in the vat to absorb the dye on Erev Shabbos. It should be called, continue to be called to dye on Shabbos, and so on. Not allowed to set up traps to trap animals. Tzeda. Not allowed to do Tzeda on Shabbos. He set up the traps on Erev Shabbos, and the animals are going to get caught in the middle of Shabbos. Reb Shammai say you're not allowed to. That's because they hold that just like there is a din derais of shvisas be'emto, so too there's a din of shvisas kelim. My kli is not permitted to be involved in a malacha. So my container that has the dye in it, if I put in the wool, the raw wool on Erev Shabbos, then my container is involved in malacha tzvi on Shabbos. If I set up a trap, so my trap is involved in trapping the animal. I have a sprinkler system, so there's a kli there. So there's a din of shvisas kelim. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. The Gemara asked the coin to Beis Shammai, how do you leave food on the fire? The food is getting cooked in the pot. Or how do you bench licht? The candelabra, the leichter, is involved. It's holding the candle, which is involved in a malach of havar. So the Gemara says, according to Beis Shammai, it's self-understood that apkuri mafke lehu, you mafke the candelabra in order not to violate the shvisas kelim, and you mafke the kedera, the pot that has the food that's cooking on the fire. Otherwise, you'll be in violation of shvisas kelim. And the Gemara says, Besilil say it's permissible. So that's the machlekes, Beshame Besilil and the Mishnah. But then the Mishnah continues, even though Besilil hold, generally speaking, you're permitted to set up the system where the malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos. The one exception to the rule is cooking food, that even Besilil say you're not allowed to. Why? So there are three prohibitions. There's three different things. We have to spend time to analyze what exactly is what. There's one din of hatmana, there's one din of shehiyah, and there's one din of hachazara. Hatmana means like this. If I, let's say, the balabasta cooked the soup for serve on Friday night, and then she sees on, then she bench licht, and she was mekabel Shabbos, and then she sees that the fire is off. So she's nervous. By the time the husband comes home from shul, the soup is going to be cold. So she wants to do something to preserve the warmth of the soup. So the soup is still in the kli rishon. The soup is still in the pot where she cooked it. But the fire went out. Farfal. So she's going to take towels and sheets and cover over the pot to try to preserve the heat. So the Gemara says it depends when you're doing the hatmana. If you do... So hatmana is an issue. To do hatmana is not only usher on Shabbos, hatmana is even usher on Erev Shabbos. What do you mean hatmana is usher on Erev Shabbos? On Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to, if you have, let's say for example, I have an electric samovar and it cooks water. So the water is going to be very hot. if I put a tight covering around the whole tall samovar, the hot water in the kli will be piping hot. It'll be even hotter. So this person likes to drink burning hot tea. So he puts a wrapper. They have special ones that say Lakovit Shabbos Kodesh, a wrapper around that's holding tight the whole samovar with the lid and everything. And it says on it Lakovit Shabbos Kodesh, but that's what the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do. If on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Hatmana if it's a Dabar HaMoseh Tevel. Dabar HaMoseh here, the wrapper itself is not Moseh Tevel. The cloth or the plastic wrapper that you put around the metal samovar container is not Moseh Tevel, but there's an element on the bottom. You plugged it in, it's an electric element, you plugged it into the socket in the wall. So the Shulchan Aruch considers that Hatmana b'davar ha'moseh tevel. Even though the element on the bottom is separate and the wrapping around is separate, still, you did Hatmana and there is a davar ha'moseh tevel, so that's also Hatmana b'davar ha'moseh tevel. On Shabbos, not only doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to succeed in making the water hotter than before. Means that there's something around the outside of the samovar that's adding heat to the food. So a lot of times the food is not going to get hotter. Let's say you do a hatmana, but the Mishnah lists off a whole bunch of things that are moseh tevel. It doesn't mean that the food is going to keep on getting hotter and hotter and hotter. It means that the davar ha-matmin, the wrapping that you have around, is somehow giving off warmth. So it'll take longer for the food to cool down. But it doesn't necessarily mean here. Also, it's not making the water hotter. You have the elementals on the bottom, so it's going to maintain the heat. It's not, but it's still, it's giving off, it's a source, the davar ha-matmin is a source of heat. Not allowed to do hatmana on Erev Shabbos, but davar ha-moseh hevel on Shabbos, you're not even allowed to do hatmana, the davar ha-matmin hevel. Even if the davar ha-matmin doesn't have, it's not a source of heat. It's not giving off any heat. But just the fact that you wrapped around the pot, the food is still in the klivishon in which it was cooked. If the food was moved from the klivishon in which it was cooked to a klisheni, so it's not going to be so hot anyway. So then the Gemara says, if you already moved it to a klisheni, so you demonstrate that you're not so keen on maintaining the heat. Otherwise, you would have left it in the klivishon. So this din of hatman is also on Erev Shabbos and on Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, hatman is also only b'davar ha'moseh tevel. And on Shabbos, hatman is also b'davar ha'matmin hevel. These wrappers that they have around the samovars, so how come a lot of people have it? So Tosfos points out, that Tosfos is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Tosfos points out, let's say I leave a pot of soup inside the oven, and the oven is on. So would you call that Tatmana B'davar HaMoseh Hevel? So that's a problematic Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning of the third Perek in Shabbos, Perek Kira, Kirishi Sikua, that's the first word in the Perek. So Rashi learns that putting a pot of food in the oven on Erev Shabbos is an issue of Hatmana. So we accept the Tosfos Shita, that it's not called Hatmana unless the davar ha-matmin, see the walls of the oven, are not touching snugly the pot that's inside the oven. But that's not called hatmana. When you have this wrapper, the cloth or the plastic wrapper that's surrounding the samovar, the metal samovar, the kettle, so that's called hatmana. The water is in the kettle, or the water is in the samovar in which it was cooked initially. That's the kli rishon. And the samovar is wrapped around. The whole thing is wrapped around. So a lot of these special covers that they have for Shabbos, they have two pieces to them, and in between there's the bottom part that covers the bottom of the samovar, and the top part that covers the top of the samovar, and in between there's an inch or two, like a belt around the whole samovar where there's no cover. So that's in accordance with the Tosfos, that it's only a violation of hatmana if the whole kli is mutman on the outside. But if you left part of it uncovered, that's not a violation of hatmana. Why did they prohibit hatmana? So the Gemara says, it's a gzeir Hashem ha'yatmin bar remetz. Rebbetz, Reish Mam Tzadik means coals. He may have a pot full of food on Erev Shabbos and you want to keep it warm, so you may have burning coals on the bottom. You may put the pot right on top of burning coals, and then you may have burning coals on the side, the bottom inch or two, on the outside of the pot. So you may be matmin beremetz, and if you'll be matmin beremetz, then shem yichat to be gecholim. Then you may poke around in the coals. And then the Gemara says that a brisa in increases that there are 39 malachas on Shabbos. So one, if a person violates two malachas b'shogeg, is chayv two chatos. That's called chilik malachas l'Shabbos. It's possible that the person will be chayv 39 chatos for being machal Shabbos, even though it's all be'elam echad, because he violated all the 39 of his malachas. So the Gemara says, achoyte b'gecholim chayv shtayim. One who pokes around in the coals b'shegik, he didn't realize that it's not allowed. It's chayv shtei chatos. Why? Because some of the coals, before you started poking around, were black. And then because you poke around, now they're going to be on the top, and they're going to be in contact with the oxygen, so they're going to flare up, and they're going to become orange. So if you take a black coal, the black coal, if you touch it, you burn your fingers. But it's black, so that's not called an ash. And if you uncover the coal, if you poke around in the coals and it gets uncovered, and the black coal turns to become orange, that's a malach of habara. Or if one of the coals was orange, and now you poke around, and now it's no longer orange, no longer flaring red. It's no longer red or orange, now it's black. That's called mechaber. So that's what the Gemara says, achot b'gecholim es chayv tuchatois. There's the other brisa increases, says, achot b'gecholim b'shogeg is only chayv one chatos. So Gemara says, why? What happened to the din of chilik malachas l'Shabbos? Some of the gecholim that were black became orange, some of them that were orange became black. How come you're not chayv shtayim? So the Gemara says, that brisa that says, achot b'gecholim is only chayv b'shogeg, on Shabbos is only chayv one chatos, goes with the sheet of the Tanu, whom we don't accept, that Havor Lalav Yotzas. That's where the Tanoim were wondering, there were 39 of his malachas, how come the Chumash only singles out Havor? So one Tanu is of the opinion, Havor Lalav Yotzas. But the 39 malachas, 38 of the 39 malachas, are full-fledged malachas with a Chiyuv Skila. If you did the Mezin and a Chiyuv Kores, if it makes it b'li hasra and achi of chatos, because whenever you do an aver b'shogeg, which if you would have done it b'mezid, there would have been achi of kares. If you do it b'shogeg, kol shazon a kares, it should give us a chatos. So 38 malachas have achi of skil and achi of chatos and achi of kares, and havar is only a lav. There's no misa and there's no kares and a mele. There's no chatos. That's one Tana holds like that. Pashtun says one might have argued the point and said, if Havar is only Lelav Yotza, so Kibui should certainly only be Lelav Yotza. So some Achrenim write like that. That just like Havar, there seems to be a Tosis and Beitza says like that. And the Rashash, Andafai and Gimel. Andafai and Gimel and Masech Shabbos is where the Mishnah lists off for the first time. He learned the first 71, 72 Blat Gemara. He still don't know what the Lamates of his Melochas are. You get to Daf Ayin Gimel, finally it says, Ovas Malachas Abayim Chaser Achas, towards the end of Perek Lal Godel, and it lists off all the 39 Ovas Malachas. So the Rashash writes on that Mishnah, Daf Ayin Gimel, that a relative of his was Rav Menashe Ilya. He lived in the days of the Vilna Gaon, and he put out a sefer called Alfei Menashe. So he says, Sher Bisori, his relative, Rav Menashe Ilya, writes in his sefer that if you hold like the Tana, we don't pass like that. If one would have accepted that opinion that Havara is only alive, then it would have been the same thing for Kibui. Kibui, if anything, should be less. Kibui is a smakalko. So Kibui should certainly be only alive for Yotzes, not the Koris. But he says, you look in, and there's a Taisis and Beitza, sounds like it says like Rabbi Nasha Ilya. But what can you do? It's against the Gemara increases. The one price it says, if you do Choyte B'Gecholim Echayv two Chatoes, one for Mechab and one for Mavir. And the other brisa says, Achot b'gecholim is only chayv one chatos. So the Gemara says, why one? What happened to the chilik malachas? He did two malachas. So the Gemara increases, explains, it goes with the shita of the Tana Rabbi Yossi, then havara lelav yotzes. So it's only havara, but kibui is kares. So it's even famous that if you hold havara lelav yotzes, only havara. Kibui is not so. So again, so the Gemara says they prohibited hatmana on Erev Shabbos v'davah ma'aseh hevel, and they prohibited hatmana on Shabbos. Even if it's davah ha'mamin hevel, it's not ma'aseh hevel, it doesn't have a source of heat, it's not adding heat, it's just slowing down the cooling off process of the food. They prohibited the both forms of hatmana, Erev Shabbos and on Shabbos. Zeir Hashem yatmin baremetz, the person may put the pot with the food, the kli rishon, that had the food cooked in it, he may put the pot in remets, into burning coals, and Shem Yechata, maybe he'll be Benchata in the Gecholim, and then that'll be a double malacha of Havara in Kibbutz. So that's why they pray, it's a Gzeira Shema this and Shema that. So sort of a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Shem Yatben Beremetz, and Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, in which case it will be a violation of Anissa. Yeah. So that's Hatmona. That's Hatmona. And in Shulchan Aruch, that's the accepted opinion, like Tosis wrote, that when you put a pot with food in the oven, the walls of the oven are not touching the pot with the food, so that's not really called, that's not a violation of hatmana. So the whole din in the Mishnah that you need a blech, Rashi interprets that it has to do with hatmana min mod yom davar mosif hevel, and if you have a blech, then it's not going to be mosif hevel. So Tosis doesn't agree with that at all, and we really paskan like Tosis. We in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is like this. So that's hatmana. Then there's a din of shehiya. That's what we're up to now. Shehiya means I take raw food, I put it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to begin to cook on Erev Shabbos and continue to cook into Shabbos. So that should have been the machlekes b'shamay b'silo. The b'shamay should have said it's not permissible because of shvisas kelim, because your pot is involved in cooking the food. The food is getting cooked in your pot on Shabbos, Shvisas Kalim, and Basil should allow it. So the Mishnah says this is the exception to the rule, that because you want to eat warm food that's fully cooked, or whatever, however you enjoy eating the food on Leil Shabbos, and you're going to see on Shabbos that it's not fully, it's not sufficiently cooked. So there's a gzera, Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. If you left the food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, without a blech, we're afraid that the person will be chote b'gecholim, and the one is chote b'gecholim, b'shoigeg is chayv tuchatos, he's in violation both of mechaba and mavir, and if he did b'shoigeg, he's chayv tuchatos. That's the gzera derabbanan of shehiya, that's called shehiya, to leave the food on the fire on Erev Shabbos. What if the food is already cooked on Erev? It's a food is cooked on Erev Shabbos. You're going to leave it on the fire. Let's cook a Michael Ben Derusoi. Ben Derusoi was a gangster who lived in the days of the Tanaim. He was a ganav. He was always running away from the police. And he was always eating his food quickly. He would always only cook his food chatzi bishulo or shlish bishulo. That's in Yeridea. They quote the Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. If you take liver and you salt it, so we have machmer. One opinion is not so, but this is the accepted opinion. When you have chicken or you have flesh and you salt it, so if you leave it in the salt for half an hour, you assume all the dam comes out, and then you wash off the piece of meat. But liver is kula dam, so liver, you can't just salt the liver and then wash it off after an hour and then assume that all the blood came out. The liver is the source of all the dam. So with machme, you can't do that. So you have to broil the liver. And once you broiled it, kamaychol ben derusoi, so then when you wash it off and you get all the dam that came out while you were broiling it, you get all the dam off, then you're even permitted to cook it later on. So whatever dam remains behind, there's a ton of dam remaining behind after you broil the liver, but the dam that remains behind is labeled as moel habosa. That's considered the juice of the meat. Same thing, let's say you salt a piece of meat or a piece of chicken. So you don't succeed in getting out all of the dam. Well, whatever dam remains behind after salting it, you salt it the way you're supposed to. You rinse off the piece of meat first, wait till it dries off a little bit. You can't put the salt on while the piece of meat is still sopping wet, because then the salt will just dissolve in the water. So you have to wait. Some of the butchers do it incorrectly. They salt the meat when it's still very wet on the outside. You have to wait till it dries off. Then you put the salt on. So whatever dam didn't come out in the first half hour of salting the meat, that dam remains behind. That's considered moel habosa. That's the juice of the meat. Same thing, let's say you have a gigantic piece of meat, 2 feet, a cube, 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet, a big piece of meat. and you put salt on all the top and the bottom and the four sides, on all the six surfaces. So the salt will have an effect the first 2-3 inches. Not going to go all the way 2 feet in. So the middle of this gigantic piece of meat is going to be full of dam. So the halacha says, officially it's mutter. Since you salted the meat the way the halacha requires, and then you washed it off, you washed off all the salt, whatever dam remains behind inside the piece of meat is labeled as mo'la basar, and that's mutter. So the din is, let's say, when you broil the liver, or you can do the same thing with a piece of meat. You have a piece of meat that you didn't salt it, so you can broil it. And after you broil it, it has to be kamachal ben derusai. So then you rinse it off, and then even if you wash it later on, I declare whatever dam remained behind is moel habosa. So how long do you have to broil the piece of meat? Till it's roil achila al yedei adchak. If some people would eat it. So they always give this mushel, this gangster, who lived in the days of the Tanoim. His name was ben derusai. But ben derusai was always gobbling down his food quickly. He would always cook it a little bit. It was always rare done. It was never well done, because it was always gobbling down his food and is running away, hiding from the police. So how much bishul is that? So near a day, they quote the machlekes, it came out the same thing. Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, whether chatzi bishulo or shlish bishulo. It's not exactly clear what does it mean, chatzi bishulo, shlish bishulo. It means half the time that it would take to cook it fully, or it's half cooked. Does it go on half of the result, or it goes on half the amount of time? If it goes on the results, so shlish bishul, chatzi bishul, is kemat the same thing. It's very hard to distinguish between chatzi bishul and shlish bishul. Anyway, so that's so on the first daf in Perikira, Gemara quotes a machlekes hatanan. What if you have food? What if you have chicken, let's say, that was already cooked before Shabbos? Chatzi bishul, shlish bishul. It's already royal achil kemaychal ben derusoi. And then you put it on the fire on Erev Shabbos without a blech. You have no blech. Are you still concerned? Shemi yechate b'gecholim. Why should it be mechate b'gecholim? The food is edible the way it is already now. It's already higil amaychal ben derusai. You mean, no, but he wants to eat it. It should be well done. No, by the time it's going to come time to eat it, on Leil Shabbos, the first half hour of Shabbos, he's davening in shul. He's going to come back afterwards. So you're afraid, Shemi Echata B'Gecholim, it's already royal achil already. So there's one Tana Chananya. I don't know how often he appears in the Mishnayos. So here the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Chananya is a Tana. He's of the opinion that if the food is already higil amachal ben derusoi on Erev Shabbos, then you don't need a blech. Then you can leave it on the fire without a blech and let it continue to cook into Shabbos. And there's no concern. You're not choshesh Shemi Echata B'Gecholim. You're not afraid. Because it's royal achil the way it is. And the other Tanaim disagreed. They say no. The other Tanaim say not only so Chananya, but there is an institution of a blech. So what is a blech all about? So if you put in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have a blech. They used to have either grufa or ketuma. Ketuma means ashes. So if you ketuma means I sprinkled ashes on Erev Shabbos on top of the coals. So there's a hecker. I know that it's Shabbos. On the weekdays, I don't sprinkle ashes on top of the coals. I want the coals to heat the flesh. I want the chicken or the meat to get cooked better. But because it's Shabbos, I want to remind myself that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have to be gecholim. So you sprinkle ashes, kitma, on top of the fire. So you have a hecker not to poke around in the coals. That's kituma. What is grufa? Grufa means, tana grufa means, I pushed all the coals to the back. Normally I have the coals in the front or the middle of the oven, and I have the flesh right on top of the coals, and here I push all the coals in the back. That's also a hecker. That's not the way it normally is. Normally the food is on top of the coals or near the coals. Here I push it in the back. So you have a hecker. So in modern times, we don't throw ashes on the coals, and we don't push the coals to the back. We don't have such a system. We don't have coals in the oven. So we put a blech to separate them between the fire and the pot. So the Tanach Hananya is of the opinion, if the food is ready, higil amachal ben derusoi on Erev Shabbos, then there's no gzeir at all. There's no chashash amirchat. So the only time you need a blech, and the blech helps, is when you need a heker, if the food is mamish raw, it didn't even reach on Erev Shabbos, when Shabbos ended, it didn't even reach the point of Michael Ben Derusoy. But if you have a blech, you have a heker, it's okay. So half of the Rishonim paskan like Hananya. The other half of the Rishonim say no. Even if it's a Gil and Malchon Ben Derusoy, still, you're not allowed to, there's still a chashash emichata, and you still need a blech. So then Rabbi Kedega quotes a Rashba, which in Shulchan Aruch is not quoted. Rabbi Kedega on the bottom of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashba, who has a suggestion, a possibility. It doesn't have a hechrich. He can't prove it. He says, perhaps, if you hold like Hananya, so the whole prohibition of Shehiya to leave food on the fire that should get cooked into Shabbos only applies if the food is raw. If it's Adain La'igil La'machal Ben Nerisoy. Once it's Yigil La'machal Ben Nerisoy, then you don't need a blech. So when do you need a blech? When does a blech help? If it's La'igil La'machal Ben Nerisoy. But if you paskin like the Chachamim of Hananya, that there is a Inisa Shehiya, even after Yigil La'machal Ben Nerisoy, then the Rashba says there's room to suggest the Chumrah. Maybe Yesh La'achman B'doi Chekabs a little bit. Maybe the blech only helps if the food was already Higil L'machal Ben Derusoy. So there's less of a concern that you're going to be Mechata B'gecholim, because it is edible already. And then you have a heker of the blech, so that both of them together take off the Chashash HaMechat. But if you have mamish raw food, and you put it on top of the fire in the Arab shop, maybe a blech doesn't even help. So Rav Soloveitchik said that these were two minhagim in Europe. He said in Galicia, the practice was like Rabbi Kedega quoted the Rashba. I remember my mother was brought up by her parents. And my mother's parents were from Galicia. So there was a while that my family lived in Philadelphia, and I was staying by my grandparents in New York, by my Galitzani grandparents, because there wasn't a yeshiva for me. The day school in Philadelphia, the Beth Jacob Day School, only went to the fifth grade. So for the sixth grade, my parents sent me away to New York to go to Salanta Yeshiva in the Bronx. So my grandparents were Galiziana, so my mother had the practice from her parents that when you're about to ben shlicht, you don't take a kettle full of cold water, put it on top of the blech, turn on the fire and ben shlicht. Because you're using a blech for cold water. That you just, mamish, it didn't even begin to cook. So my mother's practice was, that's what she saw at her home by her mother, that you cook the whole kettle of water in advance, and then when the kettle full of water is burning hot, and you put it on top of the blech, then you ben shlicht. So when Shabbos enters, the blech helps to leave shehiya, to leave the food on the fire, because the food is already edible. The food was already, the water and the kettle was all fully cooked already. But to put cold water on the fire and then to ben shlicht right away, so when Shabbos enters, it's not cooked at all. So then the Rashba had this suggestion of a chomer that Rabbi Kedega quoted from the Rashba, that a blech wouldn't even help. The Rav Soloveitchik said that in Lithuania they never had that chomer. They didn't, in Shulchan Aruch it's not quoted. Rabbi Kedega on the bottom of the page quotes that chomer, that suggestion from the Rashba. He told us a humorous incident that on one occasion a young couple was just married a few months and they already called them up in Boston, they're already getting divorced. So he said he invited them, please come over to his house, he wants to hear what's going on. Because he knew the girl's father was a big Talmid Chacham from Lithuania. So he said, why are they getting divorced? So the husband says, his wife is Michal Shabbos. So he said, what do you mean Michal Shabbos? Her father was a prominent Talmid Chacham. He used to be a Magid Sheh, he learned Parab Chaim Soloveitchik in Europe. So he said, what do you mean she's a Michal Shabbos? So he says, his mother always used to cook the kettle of water in advance when she would bench lech. Right before she ben shlich, she put the blech on, and the kettle had burning hot water in it. And his wife puts a kettle of cold water on top of the blech, and then she ben shlich. So the husband says, his wife is Michal Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik asked the husband, where did your parents come from? So he said, they came from Galicia. Then he asked the girl, where did your parents come from? He knew her father. Her father had learned Barab Chaim. So she says, her parents came from Lita. So he says, no one's being Michal Shabbos. Each one is following the family tradition. You have to make up your mind which sheet are you going to follow here. But it's not a cause to get divorced over this issue. If they get along on everything else, that's not called Chil Shabbos. In Lithuania, everybody did like that. They would put cold food on the fire on top of the blech on Erev Shabbos. The way it says in Shulchan Aruch that a blech even helps if the food is not cooked at all. So there's a question when you say you have a blech. So that serves as a hecker to remind you that at Shabbos you shouldn't poke around in the coals. So what if you don't have a blech? What if you don't want to put a blech, or you don't have a blech, whatever? What if you want to put tape on the knobs in the front of the stove? Or let's say you cover over the knobs. So that'll also be a hecker. When you won't be thinking, you put your hands to the knobs in order to make the fire higher or lower. So you see that the knobs are all covered up. So that'll also be a hecker. So Rav Soloveitchik thought like Rav Baron Kotler, that's also a good enough hecker. What's the difference whether the hecker is in the coals? The coals are grufa, the coals were pushed to the back of the oven, and they're not near the food. Or the coals are kituma, you sprinkle the ashes on top of the coals, or you put a blech on top of the coals. On top, what's the difference whether the hecker is in the coals or the hecker is on the knob? If you have a hecker somewhere, so it's good, it'll remind you. But Moshe Feinstein insists that not. He thinks that covering over the knobs is not enough. He thinks that he recommends you should cover the knobs also. But he says, Mikar Adin, if it's a toss-up between covering the knobs and covering the fire, he thinks that more important is to cover the fire. That's his understanding of the Gemara, that the hecker has to be in the fire. It's not enough if the hecker is in the knobs. So again, so far these are two din. There's one din of Hatmana. Hatmana is also an Erev Shabbos, B'dov HaMosef Hevel. On Shabbos it's even also B'dov HaMamed Hevel, even though it doesn't give heat to the food. And then there's a din of Shehiyah. You're not allowed to leave. That's a machlokes, where the Shehiyah only applies to raw food, or even to food that's cooked to Michael Ben Rusoi. So we're machmer on that. Even if the food is cooked to Michael Ben Rusoi, that was machlokes Chananya and Achachamim on the first daf in Perikira. And it's a machlokes in the Rishonim, how to pass machlokes Chachmi Sfar and Chasma, Chachmi Ashkenaz. It's dependent on another issue that we'll get to in another few minutes. So because of that machlekes, we machmer that you need a blech, even if the food is already cooked, k'machal ben derusoi. You still need a blech. You shouldn't need the food on top of the fire without a blech. And what if the food is mamish raw? Does it even help if you have a blech? So that was two minhagim in Europe. In Galicia, the practice was to be machmer for Rebbe Kivega's Rajbo. Rebbe Kivega quoted this Rajbo, that maybe the blech only has a suggestion. Maybe the blech only helps if the food is ready. But if the food is fully raw, maybe the blech doesn't even help. So the Galitziana machmer for that. And then there's a third din of hachazor. If the food, let's say, is fully cooked, and then let's say in a hotel, so you have a few hundred guests in the hotel, so not everybody is ready to eat the soup. Some people are still davening mara. The other people are holding by benching already. So if they have a big, a gigantic pot of soup. So if you're going to put a ladle into the big pot of soup when the pot of soup is on top of the fire, that's an issue of megis. If you have, it says in the Gemara, if you have a soup and you stir the pot of soup, that's a form of bishul. You're helping the food get cooked even better. Yeah, but the question, what do you mean megis, is if the food is not fully cooked yet? But if the soup is fully cooked, everything is fully cooked already, what kind of megis? So on Shulchan Aruch, they quote this chumrah from one of the Rishonim. They say, we really don't understand it. They don't think it makes any sense. He has a chumrah, calls man the pot is al gabi ha'esh, the soup pot, the gigantic soup pot is still on top of the esh. You're not allowed to put in a ladle to take out some of the soup, because if you do hagosa, you stir the soup while it's on the fire, even though the soup is all fully cooked, it's a form of bishul. Even though it's fully mabusha legamre, when machmer, so you have to take, you need two people. One person has to hold with two hands the gigantic pot off of the fire. Another person takes the ladle and he takes out the soup. Then the person who's holding the pot, the gigantic pot with the soup, both hands, after they finish serving the soup for the first customers who want to have soup, so he can put the pot back on top of the fire. So that's called hachazora. If there was food that's cooked already on the fire, and you take it off and you want to put it back on, so then there are conditions. You're only permitted, so if the food is not fully cooked yet, and by putting it back on top of the fire, let's say you have a cholent. So you're taking, on Friday night, some people are going to sneak in and take some of the cholent. but they want to put it back on top of the fire. So on Shabbos, everything in the cholent will be cooked. So if some of the particles in the cholent were not cooked yet, and by putting it, you take it off of the fire, and then you put it back on. So if you put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos, that's a malacha bishul deraisa that you're not allowed to do. What if the food and the, what if you have echetimtze, the potatoes and the flesh, everything is cooked. Kamachal ben derusoi, it's edible, but it's not fully cooked. If you put it back on top of the fire, it'll cook for another couple of hours, let's say, if it'll cook for another couple of hours, overnight, and then it'll become mevushal legamre. So some people who would not have eaten it earlier, now, because it's fully cooked, a lot of times the potatoes are half raw and half cooked, so they're edible. But if it would be fully cooked, it would even taste better to many people. And the meat will be fully cooked. So that's a big machlekes in the Rosh. If the food was already cooked, the machal ben nisoy. If you take raw food and you cook it on Shabbos till it's edible, kill machal ben derusoy, so that's called bishul. What if you take food and usually have a din, ein bishul achad bishul? Once you already cooked the food and it's edible, then you reheat it. That's not a violation of bishul menator. That's only an issa de rabbanan. I have fully cooked food in the refrigerator. I take it out and I put it back on top of the fire to reheat it. So on Shulchan Aruch, we assume that's only an issa de rabbanan because menator we say, ein bishul achad bishul. I have to get to the detail. I have to discuss more details. So that's a question. Do you apply ein bishul achad bishul in this case? If the food was only cooked, machal ben derusoi, and I take it off of the fire, then I'm holding it with both hands. And someone is serving some of the cholent, then I'm going to put it back on top of the fire, and not because it's going to remain another 10 hours till another 15 hours till tomorrow morning, and we're going to come home from shul and eat the cholent. So now the food that was only edible, the shas atchak, machal ben derusoi last night, now it's nechal, now it's mevushal kol tzarkai. So that's a machlikis in the Rosh, whether that's an isa bishul deraisa or that's only an isa of hachazor. So the Ramah recommends in Shulchan Aruch, we only permit hachazorah to put the food back on top of the fire if the food, number one, was on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Number two, you have a blech. If you don't have a blech, you're not permitted to do hachazorah. And number three, that the food is mevushal kol tzarka. If it's only mevushal kol macha ben derusoi and you put it back on top of the fire, then we're choshish for those opinions that yesh bishul achad bishul deraisa. So then if it's a malocha deraisa, you're not just talking about a chumra midrabanan of achazar. And then we'll have to get there are more conditions also. So why did they prohibit achazar? Why is it usher? If the food is fully cooked and it's in the refrigerator, let's say you have a kugel of chickens in the refrigerator, I take them out and I put them on top of the fire. So menatar, the din is ein bishul achad bishul, it's muta menatar. But with the rabbana, they prohibited to do hachazar. It's only muta if it was on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it's still on, and you have a blech, and it's mevushal kol tzarka, and ode biyodo, I took it off of the fire, and I'm still holding it, v'dayta lahachzir, I took it off intending to put it back on. If I took it off planning to leave it off, I'm going to put it on the counter, on the table, and then I changed my mind, I want to put it back on. So for many generations, we were always machmar on that. You have to avoid the biyodah, but daita lahachzir. You have to have in mind to put it back on top of the blech. So what if you didn't have all these conditions met? Why did they prohibit hachazorim in the rabbanim? So that's a major machloikis in the Rishonim. The Aruch Sameach has this. And Rav Soloveitchik worked it out also, I think, on his own. Every so often he would quote an Aruch Sameach. This one he didn't quote. In the name of the Aruch Sameach, this he showed us on his own. He agreed with the Aruch Sameach that this is a fundamental machlokes between Chachmei Svarad and Chachmei Ashkenaz. The Chachmei Svarad, the Ramban and the Tan, the Ran and the Rashbo and the Ritvo, all the Chachmei Svarad are of the opinion that Hachazorah is also on Shabbos because of Bishul. Even though Menatar ain't Bishul Achad Bishul, but with the Rabbanan, Mechzik and Mevashim. So that means that it's a Malach HaBishul with the Rabbanan. And the Rabbi Natan in Taisvis, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rabbi Natan. And the Rabbi Natan in Taisvis holds that it's not at all. No, it's ain't Bishul Achad Bishul. Ain't Bishul Achad Bishul is Menatar with the Rabbanan. It's not Bishul Achad Bishul at all. The reason why they prohibited Hachazorah is Vaita Shem Yechat Bigacholim. The same reason for all three. Why did they prohibit Hatmoneh? Shema Yatmin Baremetz. Why did they prohibit Shehiyah? The Gemara says Shema Yechata Begecholim. So the same thing as Hachazor is all Shema Yechata Begecholim. So you can ask a question, if the whole reason why they prohibited Shehiyah to leave food on the fire without a blech is Shema Yechata. But if you have a blech, it solves the problem. You have a heker. So why do you say that you're not allowed to do Hachazorah? Let's say the food is in the refrigerator. You're going to take it out and put it on top of the fire. But you have a blech on the fire. So why do you require that the food should have been on the blech mebol yom, and you just be machzirit putting it back? What's wrong if you take it out of the refrigerator? The food is fully cooked, and the fact that there's a blech will remind you have a heker, that you won't be machat b'gecholim. If the blech can serve as a heker to solve the problem of the concern of Shema Yechata by Shehiyah, why doesn't it solve the problem of Shema Yechata by Hachazorah as well? So that's what motivated the Chachmei Svara to say that the prohibition of Hachazorah is not so much Shema Yechata, but it's rather Bishul Midirabbanan. Yesh Bishul Hachem Bishul Midirabbanan. But according to Rabbi Natamwai, so the Mishnah Brura and the Ur Sameach both say, look in the Sefer Ayosha of the Rabbi Natam. I forgot already, one of them quotes the Sefer Ayosha, the other one says, look in the Sefer Ayosha. Sefer Ayosha is written by the Rabbi Natam, has all of his original chidushin on Shas, when sometimes he thinks there's a mistake in the Girsa, sometimes the Girsa is correct, but he gives a different interpretation from Rashi. So all of his shitas, whenever Tess quotes Rabbi Natam, everything comes from that Sefer Ayosha. Every so often it's important to check it up, to look in the original source, the Sefer Ayosha, to find out exactly how did the Rabbi Natam word it. It's not written so well, but every so often it helps you understand the Tess is better to hear. The Rabbi Natam in the Sefer Ayosha says explicitly that both Shehiyah and Hachazorah, to leave food on the blech on Erev Shabbos that it should cook, and to put food back into the from the refrigerator, to put it back on top of the blech on Shabbos, that's called Hachazorah. They're both also with the Rabbanah for the same reason, Shema Yechata. And one is the Mechata Gecholim, is Chayiv Shtayim, two Chatois, one because of Mechaba, one because of Mavir. Because some of the black coals will turn orange, and some of the orange coals will turn black. It's Mechaba or Mavir. But why, how come if you want to leave food, raw food on the fire, on Erev Shabbos, you leave a blech, that's a heker. So the heker is sufficient to remind you not to be Mechal Shabbos. So why shouldn't that be enough to be Mata HaChazara? Why can't I just leave the fire on with a blech on top, take out food, fully cooked from the refrigerator, put it back on top of the blech, and the blech is going to remind me not to be Mechata. So the Rabbi Natam explains why. So he says, if the food was sitting there from Erev Shabbos, Shehiyah, food is sitting Erev Shabbos, and you have a blech, since you put the food on Erev Shabbos with the blech, so the fellow's going to see, the man or the woman are put there, they're going to see whether it's the right flame, whether the flame is hot enough. So, because the pot is sitting there on top of the blech and the fire is on the bottom, so he sees, does he think it's going to work well or not? So if you have the blech, that takes off the concern, Shema Yechata. But if you take your food out from the refrigerator, it's going to be on Nesina Mechodosh on Shabbos. Taking out food from the refrigerator in the middle of Shabbos morning, let's say, and putting it on top of the blech. So you're going to say the blech is enough to remind you not to be Mechata. But he may realize now that he made the fire too high, or he made the fire too low. So he may forget, on the spur of the moment, may forget. So the concern, Shema Yechata, is a greater concern if you're putting in the Sina Mechodosh on Shabbos than if you're putting the pot from Erev Shabbos, you're leaving it from Erev Shabbos. So when he puts it on top of the blech, he's going to regulate the fire to make it higher or lower, whatever, that it should make sense, it should fit in over here. So these are the three dinim that we're going to be discussing. Hatmana, there isn't that much to discuss about Hatmana. What was a big machlekes in Europe before the war, I forgot the name, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Tzirelson, was the rabbi in Kishinev. I think he was one of the rabbanim who was from the original founders of the Agudas Yisrael in the first meetings. So he has a tshuva in his sefer about this shaila. Let's say I have a kettle of water on Shabbos on top of the blech, and I see the fire just went out. Fire went out, so the kettle of water is not going to retain any heat. It's going to, the heat is going to dissipate. So I want to quickly pour the water into a thermos bottle and screw the cap on to retain burning hot water. So I'll be able to have hot tea Shabbat afternoon. So that's a question. Is that a violation of Hatmana? So the Gemara says, whenever you pour the food from the Kli Rishon, the pot in which the food was cooked is the Kli Rishon. When you pour the food from the Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni, so then there's no Issa HaChazor, because the fact that you poured it already in the Kli Sheni, it's already losing. The Kli Sheni means Tvanas Mekararos. That's the definition of a Kli Sheni. So you demonstrate that you're not so interested in maintaining the heat, so you're not afraid of Shemi Yechata. So the whole prohibition of Hatman and Shemi Yatman Beremes and Shemi Yechata, but if you put it in a Kli Sheni, you don't have to be concerned. But if it's a thermos bottle, so the thermos bottle is specially manufactured that it should retain the heat. So maybe over here you can say the fact that he put it into a Kli Sheni indicates that he doesn't care. He's not so interested that it should retain the heat. No, Adarab. That's why people put things in a thermos bottle. So that was a big machlokes. When you have a kettle of hot water on Shabbos in the daytime, and you see the fire just went out, accidentally the fire went out under the kettle, and you want to preserve the heat of the water, do you say you're not allowed to put it in a thermos bottle and then screw it up? That's Hatmana. Even though it's a Kli Sheni, you're not allowed to, because this Kli Sheni is not the finest Makaros. So this is a violation of Hatmana, because there's a container inside a container. The inside container holds the hot water, and the outside container is the Dava HaMatmin. Or do you say no? The Chazal said in the Gemara, whenever it's not in the Kli Rishon, it's in a Kli Sheni. So the whole Gzeira of Hatmana doesn't apply. So that was a big machlokes. So the Rav from Kishinev, a beautiful like Tzirosan, he was a prominent speaker. He was a famous personality. So the Rav from Kishinev has a tshuva about that, but that was a machlokes in those days. Regarding this, there is an interesting, this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that we mentioned in the end of the first Perek in Masechet Shabbos. Are you permitted to turn on the sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos? Are you permitted to leave wool in a vat with dye so it's going to begin to absorb the dye on Erev Shabbos? Then it's going to continue into Shabbos. Are you permitted to set up traps to trap wild animals there, and so on? So that's machlokes b'sham and b'sil. So we pass on like b'sil that is mutter. So many years ago, something like 80 years ago, I don't know, maybe 90 years ago, one of the prominent rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael was Rabbi Simcha Asaf. It was later, after they made the Medina, Hakam Samdina, he was in the Rabbanut. He was one of the prominent rabbonim. And he used to publish Kisveyad of Gaonim and Rishonim. He was involved in, he published a lot on Jewish history. He did a lot of work on the Karoim, and did a lot of research into the Karoim. He has a lot of interesting things. So he published a manuscript, a Pirush HaRambam, that's what he identified it, a Pirush HaRambam HaMaseches Shabbos, not the Pirush HaMishnayos. Pirush HaRambam HaMaseches Shabbos. The Pirush HaMishnayos was written in Arabic, and those of us who don't know Arabic, we use the Hebrew translation that's printed in the back of the Gemaras. But here he published the Ksav Yad of the Pirush HaRambam HaMaseches Shabbos. It only goes to the beginning of the second lyric. The rest of the manuscript he didn't have. And the manuscript was written in Aramaic, like the Adrama. Funny, not written in like the Rashba, like the Tosis, in a rabbinic Hebrew with a couple of phrases Aramaic. The whole thing was written in Aramaic. Melech Atchila, the Adrama on Sanhedrin is like that. The whole Sefer was written like that. And the same thing, the Sefer on Erevin. What's it called? Mishnah Berurah quotes it every page. Chaim Valozhin is a nephew. I got the name of the Sefer. So it's also written in Aramaic, interesting. So we have this Pirush HaRambam on Masechet Shabbos that was printed by Simcha Asaf. So the Rambam has a long paragraph on that Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Masechet Shabbos, and he repeats three times the same thing in the long paragraph. The only time that Beis Hillel disagree with the Beis Shammai is if you set up the sprinkler system or you set up the dye on Erev Shabbos, and the Malacha began on Erev Shabbos. The wool starts to absorb the dye on Erev Shabbos and continues to absorb it into Shabbos. And the sprinkler system is watering the lawn on Erev Shabbos, and it continues into Shabbos. What if you'll have a system, a Shabbos clock, that the sprinkler system will go on at midnight. It goes on in the middle of Shabbos. Or you set up a system that the melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. So the Rambam writes three times in his comment on that Mishnah that even Mesila would agree that it's not allowed. They're not going to agree for the same reason as Beishamah. Beishamah say you're not allowed to set up a system because of Shvi says Kalim. So even if the melacha began on Erev Shabbos, Mesila l'zagzer, we only allow you to set up the system when the melacha begins on Erev Shabbos, continues into Shabbos, because at least it began on Erev Shabbos. But to set up a system where the melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos, even Mesila l'agree, l'zagzer d'rabbanan, that you're not allowed to. So when they first came out with Shabbos clocks, and they first started using them in Europe, so the shaila was, people set the Shabbos clock that the light should go on. We're going to come home from shul on Shabbos morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock. So I set the Shabbos clock that the light should go on in the dining room at 10:15. So there was a big machlokes in Europe in the Torah journals from the yeshivas. So they argued this issue. Maybe Bishul will only permit setting up a system where the melacha began on Erev Shabbos, but to set up a system where the melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos, the lights are going to go on in the middle of Shabbos, maybe even Basil hold that you're not allowed. So there was a machlokes, and the majority held that it was mutter. So they ungenum, and it was mekubal lehetir. Then Professor Asaf, Simcha Asaf, published this Pirush HaRambam, the Masechah Shabbos, so the Rambam says lechumra. So they reopened the issue again. The Rambam says that you're not allowed to. So the Rabbanim, after Asaf published the manuscript, so Rab Zevin has a whole essay about this. Shlomo Yosef Zevin used to write book reviews for HaTzofer. The Mizrahi used to have a newspaper in Eretz Yisrael. And then they went out of business quite a few years ago. So he used to, for a few years, in a row, I think 3 years in a row, he used to write a book review on a new sefer that came out every single week. And the weeks that he didn't write a book review, he would write about Yontif, about Melchome, about the army, about Shemitah, miscellaneous things. So and then after the 3 years, he put many of the book reviews together, and he put out three volumes that are called Sofrim Usfarim. And then he put out Le'or HaHalacha and Rishim Meshitas, all the different svarim that he wrote, that he published. These were written originally as articles for HaTzofer. So after this Ksav Yad of the Rambam was published by Asaf, so the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael revisited the issue. The shaila was, is it right? I think it was before HaKamas HaMedina. This Ksav Yad was printed, I think, in the 30s. 20s or the 30s, oh, yeah. I forgot already. So the shaila was, maybe we should be machmer like the minority opinion in Europe. When they came out with the Shabbos clocks, there was a minority opinion that you're not allowed to use it. Here they found the Rambam says like that. So they decided that not so. Since the Ksav Yad of the Rambam was missing for so many centuries, and the Rabbanim raised the issue in Europe before, and the majority of the Rabbanim held the hakel, and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah doesn't say anything at all like this, so they decided they're going to leave it le'eter, to use a Shabbos clock, that the lights go on in the middle of Shabbos, also mutter. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he talks about the topic. In recent years it became an issue because, let's say, people have a VCR. I don't have one, but they tell me a VCR is. Let's say you have a TV in the basement. And on Shabbos, the TV is not on. And there's some important football game, or there's some kind of a play, or there's some kind of a movie on, or some documentary, something is showing on TV. But on Shabbos, you're not going to watch it. So I have a VCR, so it's going to record the whole movie for me. So I arrange the VCR on a Shabbos clock that it's going to go on at 3 o'clock, and it's going to go off at 4 o'clock. It's going to go on 3 o'clock, I'll go off at 5 o'clock. So it'll record everything. Even if you're in the basement where the TV is, you're not going to see anything. Everything's going to be off. If you're sitting near the TV, you'll hear a click when it starts and you'll hear a click when it ends. That's about all. But let's say no one's going to be in the basement. So is it prohibited to use a VCR to record a movie? What's wrong with recording a movie? Mr. Ahmed's co-save. It's probably not co-save minotaurics. Even minotaurics, if you can see something, you don't see anything. It's kosev midirabbanim. It's probably kosev midirabbanim. So that was the shaila. So many rabbanim said that's the din like Beis Hillel. You're permitted to set up any system you want on Erev Shabbos, and then the melacha happens on Shabbos. So most of the rabbanim say it's mutter. Rav Moshe Feinstein is not happy about that. So he thinks he's not even allowed to set up an air conditioner on a Shabbos clock, that the air conditioner should go on in the middle of Shabbos. Let's say they expect that it's going to be a terrible heat wave on Friday, Leil Shabbos, it's cold. And Shabbos in the daytime, and Shabbos afternoon, they think it's going to be extremely hot. So you want to set on the air conditioner, you want to turn on the air conditioner on the Shabbos clock, you should go on at 12 o'clock Shabbos afternoon. So Rav Moshe thinks that you're not allowed to. He says if the Tanaim would have lived in our generation, they would have prohibited all Shabbos clocks. But we're not making any new gzeiros. But he says the minig was ungenommen, it's mekubala hetera, that you're allowed to set up the Shabbos clock to turn on the lights on Shabbos morning. That's in Europe. They were noyig lahakal on that. So he says the minig is mekubala hetera, because turning on the lights on Shabbos morning at the 10:15, when you expect to come home at 10:30 in the morning, a quarter to 11, so turning on the lights will enhance, quote, Shabbos. But having the air conditioner on, he was brought up, he didn't have an air conditioner, he was an old man. So he could live, and I don't think he used to perspire. He didn't perspire, even on the hottest days. His body was different. Once he was perspiring, his wife said he must be sick and they should see a doctor. He didn't perspire. So he thinks that turning on an air conditioner does not enhance cold Shabbos. You can live without the air conditioner. We're so used to air conditioning, we can't see how anybody in the earlier generation survived without using an air conditioner. Rav Moshe Ohlin said that he thinks that air conditioners don't enhance Kol Shabbos. He says it's only mekubala hetera if you set up a system that the melacha is going to take place in the middle of Shabbos, if it enhances Kol Shabbos. So let's say by us, we would say air conditioning also enhances Kol Shabbos, but turning on the lights enhances Kol Shabbos. But to have the VCR on Shabbos to pick up a football game or to pick up some documentary or something that is showing something important, so that Rav Moshe thinks that that's not right. That's Tak HaShaila. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos begins 7 hours earlier. Let's say by us, it's Erev Shabbos, I want to send the fax to Eretz Yisrael. So I send the fax an hour before Shabbos here, so it's already 6 hours into Shabbos over there, because their Shabbos begins 7 hours earlier. So I'm doing something now on Erev Shabbos, which causes a malacha to occur in the middle of Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. So based on this Pirush HaRambam, there's still room to be mekel, but there were those who are machmer on this, that's you're setting up a system that ksiva is going to take place in the middle of Shabbos. I have a relative who's a chassid of a certain rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbe used to say Shalashudas Torah. My relative lives in Queens. So the Rebbe would say Shalashudas Torah. On Matzoy Shabbos in Yerushalayim, someone would write down the Shalashudas Torah and fax it to my relative. So when he would be eating Shalashudas, 7 hours after his Rebbe in Yerushalayim is eating Shalashudas, he would read the Rebbe's Shalashudas Torah, because his friend in Yerushalayim would write it up on Matzoy Shabbos and fax it to him, and it would be printed out on Shabbos. So that's a question that may even be mukta, maybe Nolad Gomer had a piece of paper that was blank, now it has a ganze drasha on the piece of paper. That could be that's Nolad Gomer. Let's say if you have a newspaper that's printed on Shabbos, so there are many who hold that will have to learn all the dinim. That could be that's mukta. That could be that's considered Nolad Gomer. We'll have to see the sources. But even aside from that, to send a fax from Eretz Yisrael on Matzoy Shabbos that it should arrive in America in the middle of Shabbos, so that's according to this Rambam, that you're not allowed to do a malacha, you're not allowed to set up a system b'chol, that a malacha should begin in the middle of Shabbos. So there's room to say it's mutter over here, because this, the fellow in Eretz Yisrael who's faxing the Dvar Torah, the Shalashudas Torah to Queens, by him, it's the malacha is occurring on Matzoy Shabbos, but where it's landing the ksiva is taking place here. By us, it's in the middle of Shabbos. So that's questionable. That's right. Moshe Feinstein thinks that mekubala hetera only is to have Shabbos clocks that turn on the lights on Shabbos morning. That enhances quote Shabbos. Why does he think that that enhances quote Shabbos? Why can't you just leave the lights on the whole Shabbos? Who tells you to turn off the lights? You have a Shabbos clock, so you have the lights go off at the Chveis 1 o'clock Leil Shabbos. The lights go back on at 10:15 in the morning. So why can't you leave on the lights the whole Shabbos? Rav Moshe doesn't explain. Why does he hold that arranging the Shabbos clocks in such a way that the lights should go on Shabbos morning enhances Kod Shabbos? Don't use the Shabbos clock. Leave the light on the whole time.
So why is he turning off the light on his
I think they're not worried about turning off the lights. Let's say I light a candle. So the candle burns for 5 hours, then it goes out. So if you light a light on Erev Shabbos, an electric light, in such a way that it's going to go off at 1 o'clock. So that's like melechatchila. I lit a candle that's only going to burn for 5 hours. After the 5 hours are up, the electric bulb, the electric light is going to go up. So somehow they didn't consider that you're doing a kibui on Shabbos. You only lit it melechatchila for a few hours. I think that's what they're assuming. But the shaila is, but then you have to go back on Shabbos morning. So Moshe really thinks that that's not right. So, but it's mekubal leheter angenum in lahakel. So he says, yeah, because that enhances Kol Shabbos. So why does that enhance? Leave the light on the whole time. So I'm not sure what he had in mind. There are a lot of tshuvas of Rav Moshe. We're not sure what Rav Moshe meant. And Nebuchadnezzar, Rav David Feinstein, just passed away. He was there when his father was writing these tshuvas. He was the one who knew. Sometimes there's a tshuva and there's a Rav Moshe didn't write all of the details of the case. He was only mekel because of a certain detail, and he forgot to write that in the tshuva. So Rav David Feinstein would fill you in on the missing information. So we didn't ask him enough questions while he was alive. So this one is unclear. What did Rav Moshe mean? Why is this considered? The lights go back on Shabbos morning. That's enhancing Kodesh Shabbos. I think many Jews were very poor at that time, and they simply would not leave the light on the whole Shabbos. They would think it's going to be too expensive to pay for the electricity, that the light should burn a whole 25 hours. The Merav Shabbos will have the Havdalah, that they weren't prepared. They have it on the Shabbos clock, and it'll be on sometime and sometime night, even though the clock itself is using up electricity. But since the light is not burning, I don't even know if you're saving money. Could be it's just in your mind. Could be that the people think they're saving money, but they're not. It could be that that's what he meant, that the alternative is not going to be that they're going to leave the light on the whole Shabbos. The alternative is they're not going to turn the light on at all because they're not prepared to pay to leave a light on the whole Shabbos. Or perhaps what he meant was the Jews didn't, observant the religious Jews then in the 1930s, early 1940s, they weren't so wealthy. My grandparents were very poor. My grandparents, I stayed by them, and but my family lived in Philadelphia, and I stayed by my grandparents to go to yeshiva for the sixth grade, I don't know, for a year or two. I don't remember how long already. So they were poor people. They didn't have any lights on in the house. My grandmother lit the candles in the kitchen. When the candles went out, it was dark. And in the daytime on Shabbos, they didn't leave on lights. They just left on little light in the bathroom in case you had to go to the bathroom at night. In case you wanted to read a sefer on Shabbos. My grandmother always used to go through the Tzana Verena every Shabbos. So if you want to read a sefer, you would sit by the window and read to the sunlight. And if it would be raining outside and cloudy, it was taka hard to read. It was taka dark in the house. It was hot. They couldn't afford to leave on lights. And also the apartments were not so big. So a lot of times, I know we had 9 children, we had a small apartment. So the children were sleeping all over the place. So a lot of times, someone has to sleep in the room Friday night. After the light goes out, someone's going to sleep in that room. Then tomorrow morning, going to take the bed away, and we want a light to go on in order that we'll see when we're eating. So it could be that that's what he meant. You have to have the light go out. You can't leave the light on for the whole 25 hours on Shabbos. You want the light to go out Leil Shabbos because you can't afford to leave it on the whole Shabbos because somebody has to sleep there. I don't know. Then you want the light to go back on Shabbos morning. That's going to enhance Kvod Shabbos because so the room we're going to eat is going to be lichtig. So that's Rav Moshe's position. Most of the Rabbanim don't follow Rav Moshe on this. Most of the Rabbanim are makel on this to send fax. They send a fax by Yos Erev Shabbos and Eretz already Shabbos, or the reverse. Or let's say to call on the telephone. The parents will go to shul on Shabbos morning. The children are learning in Eretz Yisrael. They go to shul to see the headlines on the newspaper. There was a bomb attack in this street in Yerushalayim. That's where their children are. So they know that the children are in Eretz Yisrael. They're fine. It didn't affect them. So they don't want the parents to be concerned. So they're going to call right after Shabbos is over. But here in New York, it's still Shabbos for another 7 hours. So they're calling to leave a message on the machine. Everything is okay. Everybody's fine. So to leave a message on a tape, or to leave a message, let's say, to cut a record. Years ago, they didn't have tapes that are record. So to make a record on Shabbos, so some of the poskim say that that's ksiva midirabon. Ksiva minatar is if you write and you can see what it says. But to make a tape or to make a record, maybe that's ksiva midirabon. So to leave a message on the machine, l'chari, that should also be ksiva midirabon. That should be at least a ksiva midirabon. Shlaim Zalman Auerbach quotes this from, I think, from the Shulam Eishes, that to make a record is ksiva midirabbanan. So he tines, why did he say ksiva midirabbanan? He should have said that it's makaba patish deraisa. Before I had a blank disc, that if I try to play it, it doesn't give anything. And now, when I cut the record, I put it on the phonograph, so it gives me a song and a dance, it gives me a gamsa drash, it gives me a nigan. So that's a makaba patish. Before it was useless, the record was useless, it didn't have anything. And now I made it useful. Now it gives you a speech or it gives you a nigan or something. Shlaim Zalman thought that it should be something worse. It should be mochomet to make a record or to make a tape. It should be a makaba patish deraisa. Even if you hold not so, so the earlier post now that it's ksiva midirabon.
Why doesn't this apply to Amir Lahagum?
Why doesn't what apply to Amir Lahagum?
I focus based on Beishamai. Why can't you ask a goy before Shabbos to do a malach on Shabbos? Not like setting a clock.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it apply to Amir Lahagum?
That it should be mutter.
Should be mutter, yeah.
We explained, I think, 2 weeks ago, we explained that Amir Lahagum, there are two prohibitions. One is the Rashi in the first parak on Abed Zar Dabed over. So you're not allowed to ask the goy on Shabbos to do a malach on Sunday. You're not allowed to ask the auto mechanic, do you think you can fix my broken car if I bring it in tonight after Shabbat? You're not allowed to say that. Because that's Dabba Dabba, you're talking about a malacha. Let's say I say on Shabbos, I'm going to drive to New York tomorrow. You're not allowed to say that on Shabbos. I'm going to drive. That's Dabba Dabba. And then even if you do the Amir Eliakim on Erev Shabbos and you didn't violate Dabba Dabba, but it's still also if to go. That's what the Urzarua had a suffix. Maybe Amir Eliakim on Erev Shabbos to do a malach on Shabbos should be mutter because there's no violation of Dabba Dabba. So the Azura says, no, it's still awesome. Why? So we assume there are two prohibitions. One is Dabba Dabba, and one is Yesh Lichus La'akim Achumra. I asked an offer to do on my behalf, so it's considered as if he's my shliach. Even though you say usually Yesh Lich L'dvar Aveira, so in the Rabban we say Yesh Lich L'dvar Aveira, even though Akum is a Labra Shlich, it's Yesh Lichus La'akim Achumra. So the goy who does the malach on Shabbos is considered as if I did it. I sent him as a shliach to do it. If I set up a system on Erev Shabbos, a whole mechanical system, and it's going to go by itself, so I did the malach on Erev Shabbos. I didn't do the malach on Shabbos. But if I ask a goy to do the malach on Shabbos, then we say, yesh shliach eslach l'chom, is considered as if I did the malach on Shabbos. That's why it's awesome. So that's what it says in the Mishnah. If I pass by the auto mechanic on Shabbos on my way home from shul, and I say, John, do you think he could come over tonight at 6:30? It doesn't mean to have Malava Malka by me. He never eats by me. I always invite him to come to fix the car. So if I say, Hanira Shatam Minimi La Erev, do you think he'll be able to come over tonight? Means, do you think he can fix my car tonight? But I didn't say it. So that's what the Gemara said. Since I never said explicitly to fix the car, I said, John, do you think he can come over tonight? Coming over, that's not a malacha. I implied that he should fix the car, but I never said it. And he's not going to fix the car on Shabbos, he's going to fix it on Mitzvah Shabbos. So there's neither a problem of Madaba Dabba, because only Dibarasa here at Mutter, nor is there a problem of Yeshlich Hasak Nuchomer, because he's doing the Malach on Matzoi Shabbos. Matzoi Shabbos is Mutter to do the Malach. So you always, every case of Amir Liak, you have to consider the two issues. The issue of Dabba Dabba. Let's say the Gemara says, I think we spoke about it, the Gemara says, I'm going to drive to Philadelphia tomorrow. On Shabbos, I tell my wife, I'm going to drive to Philadelphia tomorrow. So you're not allowed to say that. That's Dabba Dabba. And if I say I'm going to go to Philadelphia tomorrow, I didn't say I'm going to drive, I'm going to go. So you can go. You can walk to Philadelphia. It's Chutz L'Tum. It's Chutz L'Tum because there aren't enough houses. But if there would have been houses every 70 Amos, maybe there are, I don't know. But if there would have been houses every 70 Amos, or if there would have been Burgenin, little houses every 70 Amos, then theoretically you would be able to walk to Philadelphia. We know that there are no Burgenin, there are no little houses on the way. But when I say I'm going to go to Philadelphia, that per se, that's also Dibarosa Hiramutta. I know I'm going to go Chutz L'Tum, but I never said it, because I just say I'm going to go to Philadelphia tomorrow. Theoretically, it could be Philadelphia's Tochatchum. If I say I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow, there's no way that Eretz Yisrael is Tochatchum. So if I say on Shabbos I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow, that's a violation of Dabar Dover, unless it's the Dvar Mitzvah. So then the Dabar Dover is Mutter the Dvar Mitzvah, only the Dvar Hoshus. But to say I'm going to go to Philadelphia, theoretically, it's on the same continent. So theoretically, it could be that it is Tochatchum. So then I know it's Chutz L'Tum, so that's Dibarosa here in Mutter, since I didn't say it. So I'm not really in violation of that. There is a brisa in the end of the first parak in Masechah Shabbos. After the Mishnah quotes this machlokes b'sham and b'sula, you're allowed to set up a system on Erev Shabbos that the malacha begins on Erev Shabbos, continues into Shabbos. So there's a brisa that says you're not allowed to. They used to have a water mill. We have electric mills. So we have electrical power. In the days of the time, they didn't know how to harness electricity. So they have, if a river is flowing anyway, so if you make a big wheel, and the river will cause the wheel to keep on turning in one direction, so then you can arrange a system that you'll have a water mill that will grind flour. So that was a common practice in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Rishonim. They used to have a water mill. That's why the Rosh writes, you have to have Shmure Matzah, has to be Mishas Tchina. What's that, Shmure Mishas Tchina? Because when they would grind it, some of the water from the river would splash on the flour. So when there's a concern that the water may have come in contact, maybe the flour came in contact with water, so then you need Shmure, Shima Michimas. You have to make sure that the flour didn't turn into chametz. So the Gemara has a brisa that you're not allowed to set up a system. You're not allowed to put in kemach in the water mill on Erev Shabbos that it should continue to grind into Shabbos. So the Rishonim have a machloikis, do we pass them like that? And so Shulchan Aruch quotes the two opinions. So the one opinion is no, that's Bishamai. Bishamai l'shitasim hold, you're never allowed to set up this system on Erev Shabbos where the malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But since we pass them like Bishilo, that you are permitted to set up the system of the sprinkler system to water the lawn, or the vat of dye that the wool should absorb the dye. So what did Ami Ovi? I set up a system that the tchina begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. Then there's the other opinion, though, even according to Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to set up such a system, but the water mill makes a big racket, makes a big noise, and all the people in the neighborhood will notice the noise is mashmiya kol. So there's no iser mash. If you play a piano, that's an iser mashmiya kol. If you play musical instrument, that's exera de rabban on the Mishnah and Beitza, the end of Beitza, shemi yisak and klei shir. You may hear that the piano is not on key, it's not in tune, and you may fix it. If you have a guitar, the people know how to fix the guitar. So you're not allowed to play guitar on Shabbos, exera shemi yisak and klei shir. Fine. That's if it's a klishir. Here, this water mill just makes a racket. So here, mashmiya kol is also because you're drawing attention to the fact that a malacha is occurring. And to draw attention, that's a Rashi writes, that's a zilus of the Shabbat. That's a bizoyin to Shabbos. So half of the Rishonim hold that even if you hold like Bisilo, that set up a system where the Melacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos is generally mutter, you're not allowed to because it draws attention. So that's what some raise the issue. Let's say some of the women don't want to, you have a lot of guests and you have to wash all the dishes. So the women will have their dishwasher on the Shabbos clock. So they'll put all the dishes in when they finish eating. And the dishwasher will turn on the hot water and do the washing of the dishes at 9 o'clock at night, when for sure you're going to be finished. So the mice, if you don't close the door to the dishwasher, the whole thing is not going to work. So when you close the door, let's say you finished eating at 8 o'clock. When you close the door, nothing happens now. But because you close the door at 8 o'clock, that's what enables the malacha to continue at 9 o'clock. Every dishwasher has a system like that. Because if the dishwasher would start shooting the hot water, even if the door is open, so someone may stick in his hand and get burnt, or someone may stick in his hand and get hurt. So it's for the safety of the people. So some of the rabbanim, in violation of Dina de Malchus, you're not allowed to do this. Some of the rabbanim felt they're allowed to, so they would get a mechanic to take apart that section of the dishwasher, that the dishwasher should start functioning at 9 o'clock, even if the door will be open. It's a sakana. That's why the government doesn't allow it. So some rabbanim felt they'll allow it. So that's the question. But when the dishwasher, so if you live in a private home, so no one, the public is not going to know that you're using the dishwasher on Shabbos. If you live in an apartment house, so the whole floor is going to shake. So the neighbors upstairs or downstairs will hear that you're using a dishwasher. So that's a shayla from Avshan Milsa. See, Lusa de Shabbat, they're going to hear that the noise, the whole building is going to shake, or sometimes even outside of the building you can hear it. The noise is drawing attention. So that's a shayla. Lord, if you're going to have the dishwasher do the dishes at 2 o'clock at night, so maybe then no one's awake. Then normally no one's awake then. So that's a discussion. Is that also on Shulchan Aruch? They're machmer on this. They're machmer on this, that the two opinions, whether the Brice said that you're not allowed to put the kernels of grain that it should grind up in the water mill, you're not allowed to arrange it on Erev Shabbos, that it should continue to do the milling on Shabbos. Is it only Alibi de Beis Shammai, because of Shvi Sas Kalim? Or is it even Alibi de Beis Hillel? On Shulchan Aruch, they're machmer. The Ramah's machmer, you shouldn't do it. Because it draws attention. But that's the question, what is it going to draw attention? 2 o'clock at night, everybody's sleeping. So maybe that's a discussion. Maybe there's room to be made. Okay, Galinetta, we will continue next week on the topic. Yeah. I want just to say short about the Sedra, on the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, so it says, Vayivka b'amokam v'yom and shom, kibo ha-shemesh, so Rashi quotes from the Gemara. The Gemara has another place in Tanakh from Sefer Yirmiyah that the verb levgoa means to daven. Vayivka b'amokam means that Yankel Avinu daven. So that's the Gemara has a tradition that Avram Avinu tikkun shachris, Yitzchak Avinu tikkun mincha, Yankel Avinu tikkun filas arvis. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik said, others give a different explanation. Rav Soloveitchik said, that's why when we start Shemoneh Esrei, we say Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Elokei Avraham, we farufsech after others, we refer to the fact that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the ones who introduced the tefillos of Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv, because it's the whole idea of davening is a chutzpah. The Rebbe Shlomo is busy running a whole wide world, and I have a grandchild who's not feeling well. He's in the hospital, so I want him to take care of my grandchild. I need a shidduch for this one. And I need to have a toothache or something. How do you have the right to test the Rabbanu Shalom for an Irish guy? So we know that all the tzaddikim did it. So we follow in the footsteps of the Nevi'im, of the tzaddikim. So that's why we start off the Shemoneh Esrei, Elokeinu, Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, that the three of us were the ones who instituted the three tefillos. It's interesting, the Mefarshim raised a question, how come there was a Machlokes HaTanaim where the tefillos Arvis Rishus? That's how we paskin. Tefillah Shachris and Mincha Lechoiva. And Meirev was only instituted as optional. B'zman hazeh b'zeh kashav yu alay choy, but Klal Yisrael has accepted it as a chiyuv to daven ma'ariv. But strictly speaking, it's really a reshus. Manishtana, why shachris and mincha were instituted by Avraham and Yitzchak? That's a chayla. Why is ma'ariv only a reshus? So I was thinking today, on Parshas Bereishis, if the Kayan kills his brother Hevel, so he realizes that he's going to be punished. So he says, "Umiponecha esaser." I realize that my punishment is going to be, I have to hide from the presence of the Ribbon Shalom. Where is he going to hide? He's going to go to New Zealand. He's going to go to the South Pole, to the North Pole. Where is he going to hide? Can you hide? And then the Pasuk chapter says, that was his punishment. Yetzikai melefnei Hashem. Had to leave the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you go to leave the presence of the Ribbon Shalom? Hashem sees what you're doing wherever you are. So the Ramban on Chumash writes on that Pasuk, when a person davens, he's lifnei Hashem. When you bring korbanos, you bring a korban is a matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kayan, until he killed his brother, all human beings had a schus to have the right to bring korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be in the state of lifnei Hashem. He realized that his sin was so terrible. Miponecha es sasa. I realize I no longer have the right to be lifnei Hashem. So therefore, from now on, he's not allowed to daven. From now on, he's not allowed to offer any korbanos. The Ribbon Shalom doesn't want to see him. He doesn't want him to be lifnei Hashem. So how often does the Ribbon Shalom want us to be lifnei Hashem? So we're mechuyev to bring tamas shel shachar, tamas shel ben arbayim. We're obligated to bring korbanos twice a day, every single day. Balayla, you have the haktoras emurim, but that's not really mi'akev. You can do all haktoras emurim by yom. Or even if you didn't do the Haktoris and Murim at all, the Korban is going to be kosher anyway. So it could be that maybe that's the reason why only Shachris and Mincha are Choyva and Ma'ariv is a Rishus, because the Ribbon Shalom is only Mechayiv us to be Lifnei Hashem twice a day. And it's interesting, the Rambam's opinion is that the Chiyuv Tadabin Men HaTorah is, the Chiyuv Tadabin is Mederaisa. The Gemara in the first Daf and Taina says, Liyav de B'chol Avadcham, Avodah Shebaleh refers to Tefillah. So the Rambam writes, the chiyuv to daven is min haTorah. All the other Rishonim say, no, the whole chiyuv to daven is only min the Rabbanim. The Rambam says, Tefillah de Rabbanim means the text of the davening is min the Rabbanim. And the fact that we daven three times a day, four times a day on Shabbos and Yontav, five times a day on Yom Kippur, because he say Ne'ilah, many times a day, that's min the Rabbanim. But chiyuv to daven, once a day, every day, that's min haTorah. So according to the Rambam, where did he get that once a day, every day? So it could be that it's, I'm thinking, maybe it's the Rambam l'shitasai. Because the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs counts Tamash HaShachar, Tamash Al Ben Arbayim as one mitzvah. There are two parts of one mitzvah. There's really one chiyuv to be lifnei Hashem once a day, every day. And that's why min haTorah, the chiyuv to daven is once a day, every day. And mid the Rabbanim, they made twice a day, because we are lifnei Hashem, we bring Tamash HaShachar, Tamash Al Ben Arbayim. And the Tefillah Saris was a reshus, because in Korbanos you see, you're only obligated, men atar, to be in the presence of Hashem twice a day, not mechayev to be the third time. Maybe that has a shaychus. Okay, so b'lineret, next week we will continue in the Hilchos Shabbos, and we'll go through more of the details of the dinim of Shi'iyah and Hachazor.
Thank you. Rebbe, one point from the end of the shir. So what about setting an alarm clock to wake you up in the morning, if it's a very loud alarm clock, and people in other rooms can hear it, and you want it to be loud, so it should wake you up. So is that option milsa?
We'll have to discuss it. Okay. Well, the internet will have to talk about it. Good.
Okay. Can you discuss also next week with Vashel and Cleo Gabi Cle?
Yeah, sure.
Return next week.
Yes, Galina, either next week or after.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Everyone should be healthy. Yeah, sure.
May I present? If the tafshul is in the bush of kol tzorchos, does it need a blech?
You still need a blech, yeah.
For Shia? If it's in the bush of kol tzorchos?
I think so. I think the Gemara says that. Even the bush of kol tzorchos, you still need a blech, yeah. Pretty sure. We'll look at this in Reish and Gimel. I'll have to look through the team. Good.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.